This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Ah, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
I'm Rick DiPietro.
Now you gonna swing it?
That's my co-host Dave Rothenberg.
Booey, booey.
Oh, wow. Producer Raymond Santiago already taking shots. And of course, we have the dawn of the show.
Where is RJ?
RJ's on vacation right now.
Well, bring him back.
Takes whatever he wants. That's RJ Santillo. Thank you for getting up with us on this Thursday morning. We are DNR, the R&R boys.
Forget about what are those? Dositos?
I think they're Dositos. Call us what you want, but don't ever call us lazy. You can hear us every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Number to call, as always, 1-800-919-3776. We have an awesome show planned for you today. The Nets held on late for the win in Washington. LaMarcus Aldridge came up big down the stretch. Got some good defense from their assistant coach, David Vanderpool, on the sideline. Rangers, David, scored five unanswered. Battled back from down 3-1 to beat the Toronto Maple Leafs 6-3. Knicks with a gotta-have tonight against the New Orleans Pelicans at the Garden. Islanders look to get themselves over 500. They host Arizona. Update you on the Giants' search for a new GM and their first head coaching request. Dave is really excited about it.
Phooey, phooey, phooey!
I have another unbelievable parachute story ready to go. Now, how dare you? You love the parachute stories. We have Zach Brown tickets, the super duper box bonanza. And as always on the Thursday at 6:45, we have no observations and did it happen in Florida. But before we get to all of that, I'd like to say good morning.
Shall you?
Oh, I shall. To a man.
Our sports! Sports!
Relax, all right? The one and only, my best friend and yours, David Rothenberg.
Wow. That was something.
Oh.
I think. And now, how long would you say this has been going on for? A good 10 months at least?
At least. Oh, yeah, at least.
I think that might have been the best one.
I got to be honest with you. It felt good. I think it's the headset. I'm not even joking.
Stop it with the headset.
I'm telling you. It's freed me up, Dave. I'm telling you.
Freed you for what?
I can't explain it.
What are you able to do now that 3 weeks ago you weren't able to do?
I'm not uptight. My posture is different. I'm relaxed.
So many activities.
I'm freed up for all these activities. I don't have that stupid mic stand taking up all the space. I'm getting you one.
I don't want one.
No, I'm getting you one.
I don't want one.
Right to the Comrex. They don't need any. Rodney told me you don't have to fix anything. Fresh out the box, he told me. They sound terrific.
So is that official that you are on loan? Are you keeping this thing?
Oh,
now?
I'm keeping these. Oh yeah, I am. RJ, be honest. I've been recording reads for the last week with the headset. I mean, you've noticed the difference.
He's not listening to you.
No, everything sounds great. The reads are perfect. I was listening. How dare you?
No, you weren't. No, you know why I know you weren't?
Because that's whatever he
wants. When you guys turned on the microphone in your studio, I heard him repeating the question to you.
Because we need to. There is one minor adjustment that we were just speaking about that we need to. There was a little bit of a high peak at the very beginning.
I peaked.
Just a hair.
I got excited. No, he's probably setting up. He's collecting payments. This guy. That's probably what he's doing for protection.
He's figuring how many points everybody owes him.
Exactly right.
Right.
He's figuring out VIG.
Certain Upper East Side gang owes me 4 points.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
He's probably. On
I'll tell you what. The guy who's running the ring, he probably has him collecting for him.
Oh, I'm sure he does. See, Santiago understands.
I don't know.
This is your Price is Right.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know what? This is what the greats do. This is what you don't know. You don't know what's happening. Sure. See, that's smart. Because that way, when they bring you in, you truly don't know.
That way, when this audio is subpoenaed, I can plead, right. plead ignorance.
I don't know points. Like LaMarcus Aldridge had a lot of points. No, RJ, points on loans, illegal loans, loan sharking, I don't know what you're talking about.
This will make it very easy down the road for me to deny this plausible deniability.
Yeah. You really
are. Kneecaps. Though. I mean, this guy, I'm telling you right now, this guy's got, he's gotten some secret going on we don't know about. I'm telling you right now.
Like, yeah, what was the movie recently? It was a Netflix movie. And Pike, is that her name? Starred in it. And she would like put elderly people in homes who weren't really ready to go in homes. Did you see that movie?
What? No.
It was very good.
No, I haven't seen that yet.
what's the name of the
I don't know.
Pike?
He watches the weirdest movies.
Who's Pike?
It's a good movie.
Well, why is she putting elderly people in homes that don't belong in homes?
Like, hang on a second. All right. Just hang.
This really backfired on you.
I asked you to watch Yellowstone.
You guys haven't seen quality film. Now all of a sudden it's on me?
Such quality, you don't even know what it's called.
Yeah, so because I can't remember the name, doesn't mean anything.
That? Who's Pike? You know, a Pike?
What's her name? Rosamund Pike? I don't understand how.
I ask you to watch Yellowstone. Everyone loves Yellowstone.
Okay, no. It's I Care a Lot. You never saw I Care a Lot?
No.
It's an you got to see it.
I can't watch I can't watch Sing 2 without crying. I'm going to watch a movie about some lady putting poor elderly people into homes.
It's very well done. And I guarantee you people that are listening to the show right now, they're like, what do you mean? None of these guys have heard of I Care a Lot? Like, this is a black mark on you.
You should have led with Peter Dinklage. He's the bigger name in here.
He's not a bigger name. Well, my point is, RJ, so Peter Dinklage turns out to be this captain of the underworld.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So this is also a shot at his height is what you're doing here.
You took it like that.
Oh, I did. Okay.
That's the way you took it.
Yeah, remember? Yeah, that's like bringing up like a Willow reference. Oh, yeah, RJ reminds me of that. You know that Willow movie? How dare you?
What do you mean, how dare I?
Poor RJ.
RJ is like the Peter Dinklage of I Care a Lot. I'm not happy with RJ.
That's hurtful. I mean, that's hurtful.
So you began this insult at 5:03. It is now 5:06.
Diane Feast is in this movie.
Who would play you in a movie, Dave? Oh, I was thinking, I don't know, like Brad Pitt. What about you? I think Dinklage would be good for RJ.
What's wrong with Peter Dinklage?
Nothing. He's a terrific actor.
Terrific actor. I can't believe you haven't heard of this movie. I want you to watch it.
Killed his dad on the toilet in Game of Thrones.
He's a big star, Peter Dinklage.
He's a huge star.
So the fact that I gave RJ Dinklage kind of a level of popularity that's a good thing, not a bad thing.
Yeah, well, I would take Dinklage.
Wow. You'd take the dink, huh? I'm going to need that, Santy. Thanks. It'll be next Thursday, please.
You can't request your own drop.
Yes, I can. Listen, I'm the one doing the opens.
What kind of an animal are you?
I'm the one doing the opens. This is all material.
You can't request your own drop.
I'm creating a script.
You can't say something and then be like, I'm gonna need that. That goes against every bylaw of the drops.
No. This is like me breaking down film from a game. I'm sitting there on the bench. I see something happen. I radio up, hey, I'm going to need that.
By the way, speaking of film on the game, I mean, can we start with the hockey?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, my.
Oh, my is right.
Oh, my. So the Rangers, they come out last night. They look dreadful. They're down 2-0. Then it's a power play, another one for Toronto, and you think to yourself, you know what, this is going to be it. And you might yell at me for this, and that's fine. I actually had the thought of, you know what, just lose like 6-1. Don't get into this thing where you're gonna rope me back in, and then you're gonna lose this painful game. If you're gonna lose it, just fine. You know what, just lose it, play awful, lose 6-1, and they're like, no. Ryan Reeves doesn't have a goal on the season. Boom. Then the Maple Leafs go up 3-1. Dominating play. Shesterkin keeps him in the game. 3-2, 3-3, 4-3, 5-3, 6-3. Boom. That's a win for the Rangers last night.
Yeah.
You're both on Rangers, huh?
I'll tell you what. The biggest question mark with the Rangers was, because you know this. I mean, you're such a hockey fan. You have your own hockey show. You get to the playoffs, it's different. Right? It is. It's different. And physicality picks up, and you have to be able to win in different ways. I mean, it's, you know, finesse team has to be able to morph into a team that's, you know, can play heavy, whatever it is. They needed grit, and that was the big question mark going into the season. So you bring in Reeves, you bring in Barkley Goodrell, right? And you add these pieces. I'll tell you what, this Rangers team, mm-hmm. the amount of talent in, you got, and I'm not shy to say this, you know, but listen, Shesterkin is maybe the best goalie in the NHL, or right there.
He was great again last night.
I'll take Vasilevsky, but I mean, Shesterkin is right there. Right there. Adam Fox is an absolute stud. Stud. What Ryan Strome has turned himself into. I played with Ryan Strome, and this was not the Ryan Strome that I played with. Like, what he's turned himself into, and then you got Kreider's on pace to score 50.
Mm-hmm.
Panarin, Zibanejad. I mean, top to bottom, this is a really, really good team.
Yeah, that it pains you to say that, doesn't
it? Makes
it?
Me a little sick to my stomach, but I'm not afraid to say it. I'm just telling you the truth.
No, and that's what we're looking for on the show, is just pure, unadulterated honesty.
That's all I have, Dave. I have nothing but that.
And that's why everyone loves you and respects you to this level. But, by the way, we'll get into it a little bit later. We have observations in DHIF, led by Dinklage later on, 6:45.
Don't be mad at me because of what your football team's doing.
No, I'm projecting. Mad at you because I think your take is just gross.
That's fine.
I never say this, and I'm very critical of the Giants. I think your take, you want to get into it now or you want to get into the Nets?
No,
right? You tell me.
The Nets.
I would love to see you. I mean, we're here. Santiago took shots at you in the open. Now, I mean, RJ and you are going back and forth on the Zoom. I might as well. I mean, how emotional are you going to get about the Nets?
I don't need to get emotional about the Nets, but I think we can get into the Nets, and then we'll get to the Giants in a little bit.
All right, let's sprinkle in some Nets then.
Well, what do you mean Santiago took shots at me in the open?
I tried to introduce you, and he's dropping fooies on you.
Fooey!
I didn't call for the fooey.
Oh, you never called for the fooey?
No, I didn't call for the fooey.
Oh.
He went rogue.
May have jumped the gun on that one.
By the way, people tweeting me all over the place. I Care a Lot, one of the best movies on Netflix in years, an absolute must-watch. Shame on them for having never seen it.
You haven't seen Sons of Anarchy. You never saw Breaking Bad.
So?
And you're mad at us that we haven't seen...
I just completed Breaking Bad.
Well, yeah, just now. Just now you completed.
That's all I can do. That's all I can do. When I haven't seen something, all I can do is see it right now. That's all I can do.
Let me tell you something, too. I've been making some real bad decisions. We talked about this the other day. I actually had an opportunity yesterday to shut my eyes. Cassie's like, listen, baby's asleep. Close your eyes for 30 minutes. Take a little nap. And, of course, what did I do? Did I take her advice?
No, Yellowstone.
Yeah, I got sucked into Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Such a bad decision. But it's a terrible decision. Take the nap.
Yeah,
dummy.
No, it's a very bad decision. Yellowstone's going nowhere. But a few minutes of sleep would really help you. All right. So the Nets last night, interesting win. Kyrie Irving. And last night you saw... This is why the Nets, the fans, the teammates, everything, this is why they are willing to put up with some of the difficulties on the side that come along with Kyrie Irving. Because when he plays at that level, there's not many, if anybody, that can play the point guard position like him in the NBA.
No. Watching him play, it's like, as a Knicks fan, it's like a point guard thirst trap is what it is when you watch him. I mean, as between his handle... gets to a spot wherever he wants, and then his ability to finish at the rim is, I mean, he's second to none. Now, he's special, man. And I think that's what drives people crazy, is like, how can you be that good at something and not love it? You know what I mean? Like,
who's to say he doesn't love it, though?
No, but I think there's a lot of people that say that. They question how much he truly loves playing basketball.
I think he's different. I will say that. And I think that he has other priorities, but I don't think it's fair to say he doesn't love basketball.
I've heard you on the show question his love for the game, that it's not his number one priority.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, but there's a difference between not being his number one priority and not loving it.
Well, see, I don't know if that's. I don't know if that's true.
If that's not possible, then I agree with you. But I don't know why you can't. Love basketball and also have other things that you love, and maybe basketball is not the number one priority for you.
Yeah, I just think it's a lot of people's expectation, and I think the same thing frustrates people about Aaron Rodgers, is that when you're that good, I think as a fan you want to believe that that's what you love and care about the most. Like your focus is basketball or football. I think that's why. I know that's why I respect Tom Brady so much. Yes. What else does Tom Brady have to prove? Nothing.
And you're right. Like there's a different level between Brady and Rodgers. There's a different level between Brady and Kyrie Irving. I don't know that Brady agrees with getting vaccinated, but I know that...
I don't even know if Brady is vaccinated, to be honest.
I'm sure he's vaccinated. I'm sure he is.
Okay.
You don't think he is?
I don't know.
Because I think that Tom Brady is not willing to have anything on the side distract him.
No, but it's also like LeBron James. I mean, between his school and everything he does off the court, like he's able to balance both. Like he loves basketball. You know he loves basketball. He's chasing, you know, chasing this. He calls it chasing the ghost, right? He's chasing Michael Jordan. He wants to be the greatest of all time. Tom Brady wants to be the greatest of all time, and that's what you respect. You may not like them sometimes, but you respect the hell out of him for that. But he's able to balance the two of them. Like, I know that the reason I'm able to do all these other things off the court is because I'm unbelievable on the court. So let that be my focus, and then all that extra stuff I can put, like, off. So whenever I can do it, I'll do it. But that's not going to take away from what I'm doing on the floor. Like, even, I look at his team. Look at Kevin Durant. What do we always say about Kevin Durant?
Yeah, he's singularly focused. You're right.
All he wants to do is play basketball. That's it.
Like, he doesn't want to talk to the media. He doesn't want to deal with any of the side stuff that comes with basketball. He only wants to play basketball.
Have you seen what Kevin Durant is doing off the court, though? With production and investments. Like, he is, like, he's a well-rounded dude, man.
Yeah,
like,
he really is.
Like, check out his portfolio for a second. Like, this dude is, like, he's crushing it off the court. But that doesn't take away from what he's trying to achieve, what he's trying to accomplish. Because you look at Kyrie and you're like, oh my God, I mean, this may be the most talented guy I've ever seen play basketball. Like, this dude is,
he's so
got
talented.
Everything.
And listen, if Kyrie Irving was a mediocre point guard, he wouldn't be on the team. He wouldn't.
No.
Right? They wouldn't deal with the stuff that he puts them through.
No, there's no chance. They understand how good he is and what he means to this team, even if it's just road games. Dave, it's like that in any sport, though, man. I mean, if Antonio Brown wasn't good, would he have been on
the
team?
Like that, it's like that with anything in life. You think that there are certain people at the radio station that don't have advantages that other people don't have because of who they are?
You're talking about Peter then, right? Was that a shot at Peter?
It wasn't a shot at anybody.
I felt like that was a shot at Rosenberg.
See, you walked yourself right into that.
Did you hear the excuses, by the way, they're making yesterday? Oh, my God.
I loved it. And I didn't hear a lot of the show yesterday.
You heard that, though.
I was taking Alex to basketball, and I heard it, and I smiled. I smiled at these excuses. All right, so the Nets on the table. Harden wasn't even very good last night, but LaMarcus Aldridge was.
Aldridge was
sensational. Kyrie was phenomenal, and they get a one-point win against Washington.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Talked a lot about Kyrie. Would you like to hear from him?
Of course.
Yeah, I thought you would. This is why we're kind of on the same page all the time. Here is Kyrie on playing without Kevin Durant. He actually enjoys some of the pressure that comes along with it.
I like the pressure. You know, I love pressure. I think it brings out the best in me personally. And then also I'm able to carry that energy with the team, whether it be communicating with guys in short conversations on the floor or off the floor, trying to demand a responsibility from all of us, from myself first, but from all of us that this isn't going to be perfect. It's not going to ever look perfect. This is just what we have, and we can't replace anybody that's out. But what we can do is fill up the stat sheet with the little things that may show up and things that may not show up. And, you know, we'll see where we are at the end of the game when we leave it all out there playing hard.
Yeah, for the most part, by the end of the game, they're going to be in a pretty good position, as you saw again last night.
I have a real hard time. I would have a real hard time as his teammate having him try to be a vocal leader. and take him serious.
Well, I agree with that.
A real hard time.
But I don't think he cares. I think he looks at himself as one of the leaders on this team.
Oh, of course he does. He absolutely does. I think that's part of the reason why it didn't work out in Boston.
Yeah, it's not like this guy has been beloved everywhere he's gone.
No.
By any stretch.
Well, I mean, remember what those teams in Cleveland looked like without LeBron when it was just Kyrie and Kevin Love.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't very good.
No.
So.
No, listen, he's great. He can't do it all by himself.
No, but he's one of those guys like where it's you just as a teammate, like just give him his space, let him say what he wants to say, and then just go out there and play. Like just go do what you do because you're that good. Like I don't need you like trying to hold guys accountable and everything else. Like just
yeah,
go play.
With you.
Do your own thing. Go play. You're awesome.
And just kind of be quiet about it.
Yeah, help us win that all like the walking stick, the sage, like do all those things. Like just don't.
He's his own guy, isn't
like,
he?
Like don't try to be the vocal leader because I can't handle that.
Did you see this play by the assistant coach of the
I
Nets
did.
Last night? By the
I
way,
I mentioned it. I mentioned it in the open. He made the open.
Well, I know you saw it, but I was just kind of bringing it up
by
asking you that question.
Some quick hands, though. How's
What's
that?
His name? Vanderpool?
Oh yeah,
he doesn't have like his own reality show, does he?
that's Vanderpump.
Oh okay,
that's Lisa Vanderpump. Yeah.
How do they miss that?
I have no idea. How you missed that? The referee's standing right there.
So if you didn't see it, first of all, you have to see it because it's wild. There's a pass right like kind of parallel to the Nets bench.
Yep.
He's standing up almost on the court, but clearly on the sideline, and he reaches his hand out and deflects the ball away.
Yep.
It's wild.
Yeah, Kuzma was losing his mind.
I don't blame him.
No, of course you don't blame him. It just to add it to the list between the NFL officials, now this, and I get it's tough. I get it's hard. I know. But then they missed one, too, where, I mean, the ball clearly hit the rim. Like, you could tell. I mean, the ball, it flattened out. Like, it hit the rim, and they missed that.
Yeah, that's one thing. That stuff happens. An assistant coach doesn't reach onto the court and deflect the ball away, and the official has no idea.
What's the first thing you thought when you saw that? I've never seen that before. I've never seen that before in basketball. What's the first thing you thought about?
I don't think I'm gonna be good for this game. The first thing I thought, I don't know. Is there something obvious that I'm missing? A play in the NFL?
Mike Tomlin.
Oh, and Mike Tomlin, didn't he trip someone down the sideline?
No, he got in his way. Like he came out. Like remember when Jacoby Jones?
Oh, it's a Thursday night game against the Ravens, right?
Yeah, down the sideline.
Yeah, I remember that. Didn't the Jets have an assistant coach who like tripped someone on the sideline?
It was the strength coach, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Whatever it takes. Listen, that's how important wins are, whatever it takes.
There's a famous story, although they actually got it right, where I think it was like the Cotton Bowl, the Rose Bowl back in the 40s, where a running back was just had broken free and was running down the sidelines. And one of the players on the bench, just he saw it was happening. He just couldn't contain himself. He jumped off the bench. He tackled the guy, and he ran back to the bench.
Well played.
And they called it a touchdown. Because they saw it happen.
Dude, I'll never forget when I was a young kid. I was playing on a team. I was backing up, and I was sitting sitting.
See, now you finally have it. You play this at the inappropriate times all the time. This is finally correct. Go ahead.
So I've never been. This is probably as.
Is there a parachute involved in this?
No. Oh. I wish I could have hid inside of a parachute. So one of my favorite coaches growing up was super intense. But he was a great coach. So we're playing the game. I'm fully engaged in the game, so I'm kind of hanging over the boards, rooting the guys on. Puck gets shot up near our bench. And like an idiot, I don't know if it was just my reflexes taking over, whatever it is, I decide I'm going to reach out my glove and catch the puck. And the referee sees me catch the puck. Gives me a delay of game penalty.
Oh, God.
When I tell you, the coach, like the spit, I could feel the spit in my face. He was so mad at me.
You are horrified.
Oh my God, dude! I had never rooted so hard for a penalty kill in your entire.
Did they kill it off?
Yes, we killed it off. Thank God.
Nice.
Thank goodness, because I was like, I'm going to cost us the game.
Were you screaming like, "Come on, guys!"
Yes. Yeah. Clear it.
Get it out.
Please.
Get it out. Like Herb Brooks in Miracle. Clear it.
Please.
So do you think, so watching this video, and I watched it numerous times, do you think that's what happened to him? You think it was just reflex and he saw the ball going by, he deflected it away? Or do you think he was like, okay, let me reach out and play defense with the guys?
Maybe a little bit of both.
See, I think maybe it's probably the first. I think he saw the ball go in front of him and just instincts kicked in and he just knocked it away.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Yeah, I think it's just your natural instinct. But still, I mean, that's just you're a coach. Like you're not like we all. Know
I know, but
that's illegal.
That moment, yeah, yes, it's illegal and it should have been a technical foul. And they lost by 1 point. Here's Kyle Kuzma, who is not so happy about the play last night.
Yeah, I mean, coaches should not be able to stand up. I mean, I get it if it's under 2 minutes. I mean, everybody in the league stands up, but I feel like it was like 3:50 on the clock. You're standing up, got Steve Nash blocking the ref's view. Can't see shit. I don't know what else to say. You know, it's very unfortunate, but you just got to live with it. We had an opportunity at the end. I missed a shot. Live and die with it. It happens.
I don't know why coaches shouldn't be allowed to stand up.
Well, I mean, it's tight. I mean, it's especially you're taking a corner three. I mean, it's tight right there. There's not a lot of space.
I think coaches shouldn't be allowed to reach onto the court and deflect the ball away.
No, of course.
Standing up, no, I don't really have a problem with.
Of course. And he's mad in that moment. He missed the shot. He missed the three late. Kuzma's been great for them, too, by the way.
What a good trade that was, huh?
That was a terrific trade
for them. Think the Lakers would return that to sender if they could?
The Lakers are a whole different story right now.
They're a mess. Oh. They are an absolute mess, 100%. So, yeah, that was wild. So, you've never seen anything like that before, right?
No, I've never seen anything like that. I actually had another time in a game where I was backing up.
Is there a parachute in this one?
No, there's no parachute. So the face-off was on the face-off dot in front of our bench, and the wing for some reason was like wide to my side, like close to the bench. So I said something nasty to him, and he decided it was a good idea. He just turned around and punched me right in the face.
Really?
Yeah, I drew a penalty.
Oh, good for you. So you got that 2 minutes back?
Yes.
Good for you. Is there anything I could bring up that you wouldn't have a story for?
Probably not.
Like a topic. We should do that one day. Open up the phone lines. Just you mentioned like one phrase and Rick goes on a story about it. RJ, how do you feel about that as a segment one time?
We could do that. It seems like Rick on nights he was backing up was just as entertaining as nights.
Yeah,
he was
Rick
playing.
Rick was always heavily involved in the game. Like if I were to say braiding, you'd be, oh, I have a great braiding story.
I do have an excellent braiding story.
Right.
Yeah.
The three-point line. Oh!
I actually thought it was a good idea when I was in Chicago with the Wolves. I had a real old team. Like, we were a bunch of, like, Glenn Featherstone old guys, and I was, what, I was probably just turned 19.
This isn't the team that smoked cigarettes, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was my first. Yeah, they smoked a pack of cigarettes.
Well, I
was the, and I would have to go run beers. Like, we'd go to dinner wherever there was a golden tee, and then ripping darts, and they would send me to go get more pitchers of beer.
I love this team.
And I'm like,
well, how do the braids come in here, though?
I'm like, why are you drinking so much beer? He goes, well, I got to weigh in the morning, so I dehydrate myself with the beer. He had a weight clause. So I just, to make the guys laugh, where I thought it would be funny, is I went and got my hair, I went and got my hair braided, like Allen Iverson.
And they destroyed you.
They were calling me the question instead of the answer.
So there's no phrase that I could bring up that you wouldn't have a story for.
I'm likely to probably have a story for you.
Right? How about bubblegum?
Ooh, bubblegum. I got a good one for that one, too. We were in St. Louis, and we thought it was a good idea that we would take out, we were going to try to take out Ozzy, because Chris Osgood was playing for the Blues, that we would take him out, and he wouldn't realize that we were going to get him all banged up at dinner, so we just keep filling up his wine glass. He's smarter than we are. He realized what we were doing, and he turned the tables. So he got the other goalie on our team all banged up, and then he showed up at the rink the next day and a little hungover and realized that he had dropped gum at some point in his chest hair. The trainer had to cut out the gum out of his chest hair.
See, I mean, there's nothing we can mention that you don't have a story for.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
We only have 7 games left in football this year.
I know. Well, at least we have the best weekend coming up.
This is the best weekend.
Yeah.
But then there's no Saturday next weekend. And then the weekend after that, we don't have any football.
No, I know. And we got the inconsistent Knicks. At least you got the Rangers. Hopefully the Islanders turn this thing around.
Baseball hopefully will be coming our way late March, early April. But when you take football out of the equation, I really feel it.
Well, of course you do. I mean, that's your favorite.
But it's not close.
Well, yeah, because now what are you doing on the weekends?
No, not my weekend. They see, my weekends have such a feel. right? It's like family time, but then you know you have football all Sunday, and there's this crescendo of it's football and it's great, and then you watch it all day, then you go to bed, you do the show Monday morning, and it like there's a feel. And what's going to happen in a couple of weeks is that feel that it's going to be gone.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, it gets me through the week.
It gets me through the week, and then it gets you through the weekend, and you wake up on Sunday morning. I wake up Sunday morning. I'm just like, oh, this is so good.
Yeah, you can't wait.
Can't wait.
Which is sad for us with how bad our football teams are, but still, I mean, that's just
lies the difference. If the Knicks stink, and they don't stink, they're very mediocre. But if the Knicks stink, I really lose my enjoyment for the NBA. If the Rangers stink, I lose probably most of any sport, really lose my enjoyment about hockey. If the Giants and or Jets stink, I would say that it's almost the same. Like I love football. Like I will watch any game, any time, and that goes away starting in just a couple of weeks.
I know. It really is sad.
I feel like this just hit you really hard.
No, it did, because now I'm thinking about it. I mean, it's the only sport. But I love hockey, obviously, and baseball is probably my second favorite sport. But as far as you know, how I get ready, how I plan my, like, it's the only sport I plan my day around.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like I do.
Yeah,
you know, like it's. I can't wait to watch the pregame shows. Like it consumes my.
Yeah,
Sunday.
I get you. I will say this. I believe I become a much better husband and father post football season.
Yeah, I would agree with that. For you,
much for me, not for you. You think you're solid all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I would say that.
You would agree that you're better after February, no?
Yeah, I got more time.
Right. Well, okay, and then that would be you're more involved, and that's better, no?
Yeah. All right. I'll buy into that.
Yeah. I'm not trying to make people feel miserable on this Thursday morning.
That's exactly what you're doing right now.
I'm not trying to. I'm just. You know what I'm doing? I'm bringing the truth. I'm a truth speaker, and if that becomes painful and uncomfortable, then so be it.
Yeah, but it's too much truth sometimes, you know.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I really am, but it hit me, and I wanted to bring it up to you, and I'm sorry. But you know what hit me this morning, and this is not a made up take. Would you say I very rarely, if ever, give RJ a hard time when it comes to his work, his rundowns, all the stuff that he produces for the show.
Yeah, as far as rundowns, unless he has like the where he goes away for a week, comes back, and then the information in the rundown is wrong.
Right, which is his thing.
Yeah,
but typically I don't beat him up for his rundowns. I think his rundowns are phenomenal. They add like little gems and pearls of wisdom and knowledge that maybe we didn't have. He has this take that in my mind is so bad on the Giants. So you learned yesterday that the Giants have reached out to Dan Quinn, and they want him to be ready when they hire the new GM so that the new GM can interview Dan Quinn, and if that's who he wants, maybe that's who they would hire. RJ thinks this is same old business the way the Giants handle themselves. Let me read you a little bit of the rundown they put together here. It's been made apparent from Giants ownership that the new GM will be in charge of hiring the new head coach. So why is it that the team does not have a GM, yet they're requesting to speak with Dan Quinn? Who exactly is asking permission? I realize the Giants don't want to miss out on the opportunity to hire prime coaching candidates, so then why didn't they move sooner to dismiss Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge? Dan Quinn is available. No one has hired him. The Giants probably will make a decision on their GM tomorrow, and they just want all their ducks to be in a row if that new GM has any interest in Dan Quinn. I think it's smart. He thinks it's same old Giants. What do you think?
Phooey, phooey, phooey.
I think I agree with you, but I also agree with RJ. And I'm not trying to take the easy way out. No, I'm not trying to take the easy way. I'll start with where I agree with you, is I would interview everybody. Everybody. I want to pick all these guys' brains. And maybe there's, you know, a guy I didn't expect to fall in love with, and I fall in love with him. You think that the Pittsburgh Steelers thought they were going to fall in love with Mike Tomlin?
Absolutely not. Listen, you think the Giants thought, not that it worked out well, but do you think the Giants thought they were going to fall in love with Joe Judge?
Probably not. And you're also talking about Dan Quinn. I mean, you saw what he did with the Cowboys defense. He was the Cowboys defensive coordinator. That's a team you're trying to get to that level. So you pick his brain, how he does it. I mean, you saw what he did to the defense, how he turned it around. You're trying. It's reconnaissance. You're trying to gather as much information as you can. Here's where I agree with RJ, though. It sounded like if it was up to John Mara, he wouldn't have fired Joe Judge. So they let him finish out the season, and then there was still some back and forth as to whether or not they would keep him. You knew Dave Gettleman was gone.
Correct.
So why not get rid of Dave Gettleman? Or, I mean, say whatever you want to say. Like, he's decided to step down
now. You're the biggest fraud I've ever met in my life.
Why am I a fraud?
Because when I said this, why are you keeping Gettleman late in the season? You took the exact tack that you're not taking.
No.
You're like, well, why? What's the difference?
No, just let him finish out. No, no. I was telling you why they were doing it. I told you why they did it.
Well, you're like, just let him finish out.
I'm not telling you what I wasn't telling you what I was going to do. I told you what why they did it.
All right.
And then Tannenbaum agreed with me.
And Rex Ryan agreed with you. And I was on an island of why they should fire this guy. You're like, no. Just let him finish out. That's the way you do business. You're a classy organization. You don't want to embarrass the guy any more than he's been embarrassed. And I was like, no, why wouldn't you fire him?
Whatever you wanted to call it. Yeah, he's decided to step down. Make something up. Just to give you the opportunity now to start the process so you don't get yourself in a spot here where RJ can use it against you that you don't have a GM yet and you're trying to interview coaches.
But I don't feel like the Giants are behind. It's not like coaches are flying off that they're going all over the place and the Giants are hiring the sixth coach of the cycle.
No, we haven't seen that yet. And it's all going to depend on when they make the decision on the GM. It actually feels like they have a pretty good idea of who they're going
to
hire now.
They're down to three. They've interviewed two of the three guys twice already. The third one's going to be today for his second interview. And Peters, I think you're going to get a new GM tomorrow for the Giants.
Okay, then RJ's rundown is...
Say it.
It means nothing then. Once they hire the GM and then the GM sits down with Dan Quinn, then you're doing it the right way.
And let me read you a tweet just to kind of hammer home the point of how wrong I think RJ's take is. Jordan Renan, you respect Jordan Renan, right?
I love Jordan Renan.
Listen to this. And see, for all the people that say, oh, Rothenberg's so negative, phooey on you. All right, Renan.
Phooey, phooey, phooey.
The most encouraging thing to take from this Giants GM search. From what I've heard, they're offering carte blanche to candidates to reshape the organization. The Giants' way of operating is about to change drastically, no matter who is hired.
That all sounds great. I'll believe
it
when
I see it. So you guys hear it, and it's lip service, and you don't believe it. Is that what it is?
At the moment, no, it's for your sake, I want to believe it. But again, I go back to what I said yesterday, that having Chris Mara in that meeting, it bothers me. It does. That's a weird dynamic.
Weird dynamic or not.
Like, I mean, you can promise someone whatever you want.
Different now.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so you don't believe it.
I'll believe it when I see it. I don't like how that's set up, and it's not changing.
Well, it's not going to change.
So I don't think my opinion is going to change.
Until you see proof.
I think RJ's point is that you did what you should have done, which is Gettleman is gone, so now don't saddle the new GM with the head coach. So you got rid of Joe Judge.
But you're not doing that.
No, I know. But his point is that you can't start interviewing head coaches if your GM's not hired yet. Because it's the GM. If the GM's getting carte blanche, then it's the GM that's supposed to be doing
it. So to me, what looks like is they're doing is the second this new GM is hired, he's going to hit the ground running and an interview with Dan Quinn will already be set
up.
Why is that a bad thing?
But that makes you right. So if that's the case, that makes you right and RJ wrong. I think RJ's assumption is that Dan Quinn's going to get interviewed by John Mara, Steve Tisch, and Chris Mara.
No. Now, if that is what happens, that would be a misstep. But here's another tweet from Renan. He says, 12 hours ago, so the Giants put in a request to speak with Cowboys DC Dan Quinn for their head coaching vacancy. Quinn in very high demand. Giants getting their ducks in order with a GM hire on the horizon. So he makes it sound like it's all up to that new GM, and he's the one that will be talking to Dan Quinn.
I would like to believe, too, because, I mean, again, when you're interviewing these GMs, I don't know how many hours they spent doing it, but for the most part, they're usually, it's a long interview that they would ask each of these prospective GMs who they had in mind for head coach. Right? Like, and I'm sure, I mean, whoever it is, if it's Joe Shane, whoever it is that Dan Quinn probably on their list.
You would have to think so. See, you know what? Here's what I take out of this. The Giants fan is so beaten down, and the way people view the Giants is so awful that no one can even appreciate that maybe they're doing this thing the right way. Right, because
but you haven't seen him do it the right way yet, though. That's the thing. That's
but,
why, how do you
but
trust
from
it?
Everything you hear, they now are. I talked to Renan. I talked to two other people this week, and they all said it's different now. Why will nobody believe that?
Because it doesn't matter what you hear. Because they've been the constant. Ownership has been the constant, and you've been, I mean, the worst team in football.
You've been the worst team in football. You're right. I can't argue that, but I have to believe it's going to be different this time. Now, quickly, the Zach Brown Band headed to Citi Field August 18th. Be listening in the 6 o'clock hour today for your chance to win. All from Live Nation. Tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock at Ticketmaster.com. RJ, do you think that we're going to look back and this rundown will just, it'll be laughable at some point soon?
Laughable?
Laughable. No. Your take, you will admit that my take was horrendous.
Fooey.
So let me take you back to yesterday, okay?
Yeah. Do they ever let the GM hire the head coach?
Still a concern, I'm just saying.
You know what? You're a witness on the stand. Answer my question. Do they ever let the GM hire the head coach? Does it not feel different to you now than it has in the past?
Okay, so that's the framework, right?
So go ahead. I want to hear you wiggle your way out of this one, Dinklage.
It's so nasty.
Yeah, you're being very mean. So here's my point. If you were to take over a job and they were to say, okay, we already have somebody lined up for you. Well, why? You're going to waste a day of my time now as I have to go through trying to work my way from, no matter what you said, they're days behind and every day is precious.
They're not days. I see you're so wrong.
Okay, well, let me explain myself. That's subjective. Well, you're saying it's wrong to you. So I think they are behind. So you think they're not, that's fine. We can argue about that all day. It's subjective. But they're lining people up for a guy where you're going to hire a GM, and what if he has no interest in Dan Quinn?
Okay, but what if he does? And like Rick said, you don't think that these guys have said, Dan Quinn is someone I would be interested in. There's not a lot of hotter commodities right now on the market than Dan Quinn, right?
Well, he's one of the guys.
I think there are.
So. No, yeah, but RJ, the one, and I think we've said this a couple different times. I mean, Mike Tannenbaum said it the other day, is that, I mean, there's part of me, too, that agrees with it. I wouldn't mind having a new head coach that has previous head coaching experience.
That's fine.
As far as previous head coaches are concerned, Dan Quinn seems like he's
gaining steam.
Yeah. Gaining steam. Did he not take a Cowboys defense, which was not very good, and turn them into one of the best units in football?
Not very good.
Why are we arguing his credentials? I don't care about his credentials. He's probably going to be a head coach. He won't be back in Dallas. You're getting mad at things that don't exist.
All right, so then make your point. I do not understand your point.
The ownership should not be lining up anyone for anything. They should let the new GM, if he has carte blanche, like you're saying.
I think it's a terrible take. I think they are getting ahead of this, is what they're doing.
Well, they're not ahead. You can't say that they're ahead, though.
Yeah, because
there's teams already, I mean, there's teams that are already going through the interview process.
But they're saying this is a hot commodity.
No, I know, but any of these, RJ's point is this, is that you knew that Gettleman was gone, and they chose to do, because John Mara doesn't believe, he doesn't want to fire anybody, really, so they let him, retire, have the pitcher on the field and everything else. But his point is that you are behind, because you haven't hired your GM yet. You want the GM to have carte blanche to hire whoever he wants. And there are these teams that are already going through the coach search that at any moment, could hire one of these coaches and you lose out.
Say the Giants have their sights on the GM. They've got the guy that they love, right? I don't care who it is. Pick one. Peters, whoever. And they're ready to hire the guy. They say, well, what are your thoughts on the head coach? And he says, you know what? I'm not a fan of Dan Quinn. I'd like somebody else. Does that eliminate him from contention from the position all of a sudden?
Yes.
Yeah, you cancel the interview.
Yes. Okay.
So here's my point, then great. Here's my final point. You know how we talked about Chris Mara yesterday being in the interviews and you kind of got to look over your shoulder. Rick had the quote, you can't talk to him like you would talk to someone else in that position if you were purely just a scout or a regional scout or what have you, okay? So now you already know that ownership kind of likes Dan Quinn. And do you look at Dan Quinn differently in the hiring process than you would otherwise because you want this job and you said it's a hot commodity? Now you kind of have to look at Dan Quinn a little bit differently.
No, I don't see it like that at all. Maybe you guys are right.
That's my concern.
My head is in the clouds and I'm not seeing it, but I think that you're all wrong on this one. I think they're saying if you like Dan Quinn, you now have an interview set up with him. And if you don't, then you don't even have to talk to him. But I have to imagine that all three guys probably expressed people, coaches, they're interested in if and when they get the job.
Fair. And I like Dan Quinn. I think he will be a head coach again.
Yeah, but let me say this, though. Let me say this to RJ's point, though. Do you really think it was Joe Judge that decided Jason Garrett was going to be his offensive coordinator?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, so, they have there's a track record of it.
100%, I do not. But I think it's different this time.
I hope so. I
do.
I just know, listen, it all sounds great, and for your sake, I hope it's the truth. But once you have, owners that want to be involved in decisions, they can say what they want. At the end of the day, they can't help themselves. They can't because they own the team.
Now, if we hear that they hire, fill in the blank for the GM, and it's told, we really like Dan Quinn and he's pushed into going that direction, then RJ, I will apologize and I will fall on the sword and I am wrong. I do not believe this time that is the case.
You don't have to. All I'm saying is I'm going off their actions, which is they're saying the GM will be able to do whatever he wants, yet they're lining up interviews.
Do you at least see my point?
Yes, I 100% see your point. You're going off Jordan's points, and Jordan is well-sourced and he's embedded in the team. I'm waiting to see the actions. That's all. We can argue for days on this because we're coming at it from different angles, and the actions will eventually play out, and we'll see who's right.
I'd prefer not to argue for days.
You know what I heard too often, though. See, that's the thing, that we see it so often, man. I mean, you saw it with. I know you don't like to make me the comparison between the Jets and the Giants. You saw the same thing with the Jets and what they were trying to do. Oh yeah, you can have the job, but we want to pick your staff. Or hey, Joe Judge, we'll give you the job, but we would really like Jason Garrett as your offensive coordinator.
See, people don't understand what you're... See, this is the problem now. You're saying stuff, and then people are taking it the wrong way. Even Hinkie Haynes, he says, I actually agree that it would be a big mistake for them to hire a coach before they hire a GM. That's not what's going to happen.
No, that's not what's going to happen. No,
I mean, my God.
God forbid they did that.
If that happens, then, I give up.
You'd write a letter. Tell me you wouldn't write a letter.
I would construct a letter live on the air and send it in. And I've done it before.
I know.
Do you know I have a beautiful framed letter from Wellington Mara?
I do.
Beautiful.
I do. And listen, hopefully they're going back to... It's been a while since they've done it, and hopefully they stay true to their word.
That's all we want. You're rooting for this thing to blow up.
No, I don't root... to be right, I root for things to be interesting. You know that. I root for content. I have nothing against the Giants. You think I want to come in here every day and talk about teams that win four games a year?
No.
That's not good for business.
So you want to see this play out well?
Yes.
So you know what I've heard as a real possibility, RJ, and let me get your take on this because you are a Niners fan through and through. Peters, Ryans.
Yes. Great hire.
You would think that was tremendous.
DeMeco Ryans, it might be a year early, but it's one of those things where we saw it with Sean McVay. Not that he's going to be the next Sean McVay. With these young coaches, you kind of got to go a year early rather than wait and let him get that year of seasoning. But yeah, the Niners defense is not as good as they're playing. But
so if the Giants went with that combination, you would take notice.
Yeah, all the names involved sound like really intriguing pieces. I think they're on the right path as well. I'm just saying I do have... some concerns. That's
yeah, but right. I mean, Dave, you're still trying to figure out your quarterback situation. I mean,
absolutely. It's going to be Daniel Jones, though.
No, I think it's going to be Daniel Jones, too. But again, I mean, who do you want working with Daniel Jones? Like, the best way to get the best offensive coordinator is to make him your head coach. And that's the best way to get a guy that you want.
Dable's a very intriguing guy for me.
I like him, too.
Yeah, I don't know how you couldn't.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.